All right. Good to see you. If you're visiting with us today, man, thank you for being here. And I hope you'll be back. Come back again. God has just been good. Amen. And we want to thank him for that. All right. I want you to turn in your Bibles today. We're looking in the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes. We are looking at the verses here. We're talking about priority for living. Priorities for living. And last week we started on the biblical purpose. Now we had looked at the humanistic point of view for living. But today I want to finish this thing out with the biblical purpose for living. Today being the 15th day. Can you believe we're already halfway through the month of December? And man, Christmas will be here before you know it. But I want us to look at this lesson today. And again, Ecclesiastes chapter number 12, I want you to look at verse number 1. We looked at this some last Sunday. And he said here, Solomon summarized his answer to the quest for life's true purpose and priorities here in chapter number 12, verse number 1. And this is what he said. He said, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. I mentioned last week what a charge this is for us as parents, to our children. Man, to now remember the our Creator. Remember who it was that's been so good to us, that's brought us through. Man, Billy, Elizabeth, man, God has brought you through so much. And man, you're here today with us because people prayed and God heard those prayers. And man, I'm thankful for that today. And you know, we need to thank the Lord for all that he's done. I wanted us to look at this thing about the priorities for living. And if you look at this second section here, we looked at this last week. We talked about the priorities being expressed. And quite honestly, a person's purpose for living will be the deciding factor on their priorities in life. When you figure out that God has a plan for you and he has a purpose for you, it makes all the difference in the world. Diane was talking this morning about the plan, the purpose God had. And you know, more than a year in advance, God had a purpose and a plan for all the things that happened. And you know what? God brought glory to his name, even through the death of her husband. And you know what? Folks got saved, and it touched their hearts. And folks, you and I need to understand today, listen, we have been given a purpose in this life. Now, our purpose, sometimes we think we've got a purpose and a plan that we're going to work out, we're going to do. But you know what? God has a purpose and a plan that he wants to work in our lives. And sometimes he has to bring us through some things to help us to see and understand that no one else but God can fulfill those purposes and plans in our lives. And we have to look at the conclusion of the whole matter. Solomon wrote here in this chapter, Ecclesiastes chapter 12. I want you to go down to the last two verses in this chapter. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. I want you to look at verse 13. This is what he said. He said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Boy, that's something you don't see today, isn't it? Not many people are fearing the Lord God. And again, as I mentioned last week, it's not this, oh, I'm afraid he's going to kill me type feeling. No. But it is a reverent fear, a reverential fear to know of the power of God in our lives, to bring us through situations that are out of our control and that only he can do something about. We're to fear God. Look what he said. And keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And here we see those two ultimate priorities in our lives. Those two priorities that God desires for us to set as a priority in our lives. Number one is to fear the Lord, to love him enough not to want to let him down. You know what? When our children were growing up, we always tried to teach them, listen, fear the Lord. Don't let the Lord down. And if you do let him down, let him know. And go to him and ask him for strength and power to help you so that you don't do that thing again. Listen, every one of us go through situations in this life where we've let somebody down. How many of you have ever done that? You let somebody down? Yeah? Yeah, probably. Ain't no probablys about it, man. We do it. And you know what? We let folks down. We don't mean to. We don't want to. But we do. And you know what? Sometimes I get to thinking about how good God has been to us and how good God has been to me. And yet I would doubt him. And I would fear. And I would wonder, Lord, are you really there? Are you really helping me? Are you really there to help me through this situation? And you know what? If we will love him, we can trust him. Amen? If we love him, we can trust him. But we need to, number one, start out to fear. And then we need to be determined in our heart and our life that we're going to keep his commandments and do what God said do. You know what? That is a difficult thing to do sometimes. It's a difficult thing because, boy, the adversary will throw up all kinds of excuses around us. Well, this person is not doing it, or that person's not doing it. And we get our eyes set on other people, don't we? And we soon figure out, you know what? When I stand before God, it's not going to matter what anybody else did. It's only going to matter what I did for the Lord. I have to give account unto God for how I've loved him, for how I've served him, and how I've determined in my life to make this my whole duty and purpose is to please the Lord. And that's what we've got to be able to do. Man glorifies God only by worshiping and obeying God. And you know what? That's the way our... Listen, if you've got children, how many of you got children? All right, you got children. Some of them are grown now, right? They're older. And now you got grandchildren, right? And you know what? When they're there at your house, they're with you, you want them to love you enough to do what you say they ought to do, right? Nobody likes them to disobey. Nobody likes them to disobey. Hey, listen, you know what? God is no different. And he wants us to learn to obey him. Why? Because we love him enough to do it. Amen? We love him enough to do it. Now, I want us to look at this, priorities examined. Look at this today. When God created Adam, and we looked at this some last week, but he placed him in the Garden of Eden, and God gave Adam two principles or two priorities in life. You remember what they were? Do I remember teaching you that last week? I thought I did, but number one, it was to meet with God every afternoon. The Bible said that in the cool of the afternoons, in the cool of the day, God would come down and walk with Adam and with his wife Eve. Can you imagine walking with God in the cool of the day, walking through that beautiful garden with God, the Creator, and just spending some time with him? And then, number two, they had the duty of caring for what God had given them and to keep it. They were to obey the Lord. They had a job to do. Now, you know what? You and I, we can't physically walk with the Lord while we're here on this earth. But you know what? We can spend time with the Lord. I love, and I've told you this before, I love to go out and walk at night especially. I love to go out and look at the stars. I love to take my little dog out and just tell her about all the things that God's created. And she's sniffing and carrying on around. I don't know if she's paying any attention to me or not. But you know what? I'm just telling her, precious, honey, look at this. Man, God created all this. And she looks up at me like, okay, Daddy, sure. Let me go find another rabbit trail here somewhere or something like that. And she's just chasing every little rabbit trail or little, you know, fox trail or something like that out in the field. But you know what? You get to see the handiwork of God. And you see all that God has done. And then you get to thinking, that God that created all these stars in heaven, that God that made the moon, last night the moon was shining so bright, you could walk outside without even having a flashlight. Didn't need a flashlight last night. You could walk out there and just see everything around. And the same God that created that lesser light to rule the night is the same God that lives within my heart and my soul today, that became my Savior when I was just a 15 and a half year old boy. That is the same God. I walk with Him, talk with Him. And now I have a duty, a privilege that I can do for Him. And what is that? It is to obey His Word. You know, Adam spent time with God, but sadly, he got his eyes set on things around him. And you know what the devil does? The devil wants to make you think, well, God didn't really mean this. You know, God won't really, He won't really get on to you. You're not surely going to die. That's the lie he told to Eve. Oh, you eat that fruit. It's good. It looks good. It smells good. Oh, Eve, it's going to make you wise. Just take it. God's not really going to let you die. And the devil's a liar, folks. And the sooner we understand that the devil is a liar, the sooner we will understand, listen, we don't need to listen to anything he throws at us. Does that make sense to you? He tempts us. He tries to do everything that he can to cause us to get our eyes off the Lord and get them on other things, other people, other situations around us. And you know what? Pretty soon, we find ourselves disobeying God. And the first time we disobey, well, that's bad. But you know what? If we don't get things corrected with God and go back and say, Dear God, you know what? Today, I didn't do what I was supposed to do. Lord, I failed you in this area today. And I need your help. I need your strength. What did Adam and Eve do? They tried to cover their sin. You remember, they sewed fig leaves together. They realized that they were naked in the garden. They were out. The innocence was gone now. The glory of God upon them was gone. Sin had opened their eyes, and they realized that they had fallen short of the glory of God. And what did they do? They hid themselves. They hid themselves amongst the trees and the bushes and all there in the Garden of Eden. And when they heard the voice of the Lord God calling out unto them, and as he was walking by them in the cool of the day, they hid themselves from him. They didn't want to be around him. Why? Because they knew that they had done wrong. And you know what Adam did? He blamed God. Yeah. He blamed God. You say, he blamed God? Yeah. Adam said, God, it's your fault. It's that woman that you gave to me. You know, that's that woman. And the woman said, no, it's that serpent. Now, I don't know if she's talking about the snake or if she's talking about Adam. I don't know which one. But here's the thing. Neither one of them faced the music and said, you know what, God, I've done wrong. I'm sorry. You don't read that. Everybody pointed the finger at somebody else. Boy, that's like it is in our world today. Everybody's pointing the finger somewhere else. And you know, I remember my Sunday school teacher always telling me, he said, when you point your finger at somebody else, there's at least three, maybe four, depending on how your thumb goes, at least three of them pointing right back at you. And folks, listen, God knew that there was nothing that Adam and Eve could do for themselves. He took away their self-made righteousness, their garments of leaves from the Garden of Eden. And he slew a little innocent lamb that day. And he clothed them in the skins of that animal so that they could come in his presence. And you know what? It was a picture of the Lamb of God that would be slain from the foundation of the world. It was a picture of the Lamb of God that would come and do for you and for me what no one else could ever do. And folks, when we lose sight of what God has done for us, boy, we lose our first love, don't we? We lose our first love. The fact is, God still loved Adam and his wife. There have been times we've come home, and since the tornado 2 years ago, our little dog has been scared to death when a storm comes up. She'll just tremble. I mean, it just breaks my heart. She's trembling, and she'll jump up on your lap, and you can just feel her just shaking and everything. Brother Mike Mangum helped me fix up my door now twice where she tried to claw through the door to get out. Okay, we put new frames up and everything else. 2 weeks ago when we had those bad storms that came in, I came home and I came through the garage, opened up the door, and she's there at the door, just jumping and carrying on. Her little face is all wet, okay? And, you know, where she'd been crying. The door is torn, just scratched all pieces, paint's everywhere, everything's everywhere. And I was so mad. And I'm thinking to myself, what in the world, dog, have you done to my door again? This will be the third time now I got to fix this door. But you know what? I still love that little dog. I took her outside. I comforted her, brought her back inside, and she loves me to come over and sit down in the recliner. And she'll sit there and wait for me to raise that recliner up so I can put my legs out. And then she'll come up there and lay on my lap and just want to just lay there. And so I brought her back up there and loved on her. I told her, I said, you know what? It's going to be all right. Mom and Daddy's home. We're not going to, you know, everything's good. And she just laid there. She grabbed her little bone. She laid there in my lap. And she just laid right there. And you know what? She just needed some comfort in knowing that somebody still cared for her, even though she tore up my door, left a mess, and we still had to clean that up, and I still got to fix the door again, all right? But you know what? In spite of our sin, it broke the heart of God when Adam sinned. It breaks the heart of God when you and I sin, when we disobey, when we rebel against Him. It breaks His heart. But you know what? The thing that I love about my Savior, He's still always there to love me and comfort me and let me know everything's going to be all right. And you know, I go back and I look at this thing with Adam and with Eve, and I think about it. God didn't have to do that. They deserve the same payment for their sin as Satan deserved for his. You and I deserve today the same payment for our sin as Satan deserves for his. Satan rebelled against God. Satan disobeyed God. Satan deserved exactly what he's getting in hell. But you know what? So do you and I. We deserve the same thing. And when I get to thinking about how that God, in His great love, He still, in spite of my sin, He still loved me. And God commended His great love toward us, toward me, in that while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. I can't help but want to serve Him. I can't help but want to love Him. I can't help but want to do what He has called me to do, what He has saved me to do. And folks, when we examine the priorities in our life, we need to look at it and remember that, listen, our service unto God is just our reasonable service. It's our reasonable service. We've studied in the past from the book of Deuteronomy how that Moses reminded the people of their reasonable service unto the Lord. And he asked them in Deuteronomy chapter 10. I want you to turn there just a moment. Deuteronomy chapter number 10. The book of Deuteronomy is one of my favorite chapters. And Jesus spoke often from the book of Deuteronomy when he was on earth. But in chapter 10, beginning in verse number 12, the Bible said, God speaking through Moses, he said, "And now, Israel, what did the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God?" That's worship, folks. "And to walk in all of his ways." That's obedience. "And to love him." Think about this now. "And to love him and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good." And you know what? That's exactly what Paul talked about over in Romans chapter 12. Verses 1 through 5. I'm not going to take time to read all that. But God would then have Joshua to bring the children of Israel into the promised land. And as Joshua brought them into the promised land, God would also remind him of his priorities there in the book of Joshua chapter 1. I want you to look there just a moment. Look at this, Joshua chapter number 1. And God gave Joshua his priorities. And look what it said. He said, this book of the law, Joshua chapter 1, verse number 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Later on, in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 44, verse 23, make a note of this. Ezekiel, chapter 44, verse 23, God would instruct Israel's priests, okay, to teach the people of God his priorities in their lives. And in Ezekiel, chapter 44, verse 23, those men of God were to teach God's people. He said, they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and profane. Folks, let me ask you something. Do you realize today there's a difference between the holy and profane today? The world has gotten so churchy and the churches have gotten so worldly, sometimes you can't tell the two apart anymore. But God said there needs to be a difference. And he said, teach my people the difference between the holy and profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. This was the job of the priests of Israel. They were to teach the people. And then in the New Testament, look in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. In Matthew chapter number 6, verse 33, Jesus would teach his disciples as well as the people. And he said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. In other words, God is to be the priority in our lives. Amen. That is the firm foundation that everything else is built upon. Our first love. He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. And his righteousness. And all these things, the other things that they were so concerned about, shall be added unto you. And then later in John chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus just looked at his disciples and he said this. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. We used to tell our children, honey, if you love us, trust us. Do what we said do. And just know that we're not going to tell you to do wrong. If you love me, keep my commandments. That's what Jesus said do. To the questioning scribes, you know what? The scribes would talk about things about Jesus and they would question everything that Jesus had to say. But in Mark chapter number 12, verses 28 through 31, I want you to listen to this. God's intended priorities in life were given to them. And this is what he told them. Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 31. Listen to what he said. He said, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Now this is Jesus speaking. And he is referring back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, okay? Starting there in verse number 1 and going down in that chapter. But he said, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Folks, listen to me. When we lose our first love for the Lord, and when we get our eyes off of what he's done for us, we've misplaced our priorities, haven't we? We get them out of whack. And buddy, pretty soon we're going to be in trouble if we're not careful. And that's why he wants us to get the priorities right. So let's look at this thing today, the priorities, as we close out the lesson. I want you to look at it today, the priorities. In this modern day of culture and competing priorities, okay? Everybody's fighting today with priorities. Kids are going to school here. And our daughter called us and she sent us pictures the other day. Our six-year-old granddaughter had a little singing thing at her school. Our grandson had a basketball game at his school. Our granddaughter had to get to the job where she was working after school. And she's trying to run around and get all these priorities taken care of and be everywhere they needed to be at the same time. I said, baby, what you need to do is just slow down, take a deep breath, and handle one thing at a time. Get it figured out where you need to start at. And folks, we need to start our service for the Lord. And all that we do, number one, it starts with loving the Lord with all of our heart. Spending some time with Him. Listen, we need to consider two primary and very important questions today. Number one is this. What am I living for today? What am I living for today? I remember when I was working in the secular world, and I was working there. I'd gotten all the way up to a vice president of operations in a multi-million dollar company. And I loved the work. I enjoyed working with the people. I enjoyed what I did. But you know what I kept thinking? Lord, if I can make just a little bit more money, then I can serve you the way I want to. Lord, just a little bit more money, a little bit more money. And during that time, we were working through Desert Shield and Desert Storm. And we were working three shifts a day, 7 days a week. They were working 7 days a week. I would go in on Sunday morning before I'd go to my bus route. I'd open up the plant and folks would be there working. I'd go and run my bus route, teach my Sunday school class, come back, take kids home. Come back, make sure everything was closed down for the job. And my boss wanted me to do that full time. And I had to make a decision. What am I living for today? I knew God was calling me to serve Him full time. I knew that. But I just kept thinking, just a little bit more money, Lord. A little bit more money. And I had to determine what I was living for. And you know what? I never regret the day that I turned in that notice. I turned in a 2-month notice and told them, I said, I can't do this anymore. I've got to do what God said do. And I'm thankful I did that. But I first had to ask myself, what am I living for today? Number two, I had to ask myself this question. What am I expending my time, my energy, and my money on in my life today? What am I spending all my time, all my energy, and all my money on today? Is it on things that are not going to last very long? Or is it on things that are eternal? Is it on something that's eternal today? Folks, we need to lay up treasures in heaven where moth and rust cannot corrupt, where thieves can't break through and steal. And you know, God's Word challenges us to make that certain that our purpose in living is to glorify God in all that we do. Whether you work at a full-time job, glorify God. That's what Diane was talking about this morning. Giving God the glory. Even in the rough days, when things are going wrong, you give God the glory, the honor, the praise. Listen to what 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 said. We used to quote this whenever we went to the wilds. Before we ate any meal, we would quote this verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Amen? Do all to the glory of God. Jesus said this in John chapter 15, verses 1 through 13. Listen to what He said. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. And he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Folks, think about that today. Without Christ, we can't do anything. We need to bring the glory unto God the Father. And listen, I want you to understand something today, folks. It's important to see and understand that when these biblically sound priorities are put in place, God will bless our lives. He will bless it. Number one, we need to pursue education with the right motives. A lot of folks today, I laugh at some of these kids that's paid all this money, all these big colleges to be lawyers and things like that, and there's no law firms that's accepting any of them now. It's kind of strange, isn't it? They spend all these dollars in education, 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 and can't find a job. You know what? We need to pursue our education in learning to love the Lord with all of our heart. Get in the book and let the book get in you. Number two, we need to do this. We're going to enjoy, when we put the priorities right, we're going to enjoy pleasures in our lives with a pure heart. I enjoy serving the Lord. Amen. I enjoy telling folks about Jesus. I enjoy sitting down and sharing what God can do with someone else, even as He's done with me. I enjoy doing that. We're going to work with a sacred responsibility. You know what? That means that when we start serving the Lord, it's going to bless our hearts to do it. It's not going to be a burden. Listen, it is not a burden for me to love my wife. It's not a burden. Now, can she be ornery at times? Yeah, yeah. Can I be ornery at times? Oh, sometimes, yeah, yeah. But you know what? I still love her. It's not a burden to love my wife. And you know what? It is never a burden to love the Lord. When I look at all that He has done for me, I think about just how good God has been. And because He's been so good to me, I want to love Him with all my heart. I want to give Him my best while I can. How many of you feel that you may be getting a little older every day? All right? Some of you are getting a little older, yeah? And the age is beginning to creep in on the body, okay? Joints don't work like they're supposed to, and the brain doesn't retrieve things as quickly as they ought to. And you know what? There's going to come a day that maybe you're not able to do what you can do for God today. So let's determine in our hearts we're going to serve Him today. Let's get the right priorities in our life. Next Sunday when we come back in, we're going to do it. The second lesson is on the fear of the Lord. And we're going to look at that lesson. And I want us to examine that, how that the fear of the Lord, the reverential awe that we have for God, determines how we live for Him and how we ought to serve Him in all that we do. Let's pray. We'll be dismissed. Father, I love You today, Lord. And Father, every time I get to thinking about all that You've done for me and how good You've been, Lord, I know, dear God, I owe You so much. I owe a debt, Lord, that could never be paid. But Lord, I want to give You my very best while I can. And Lord, I want these lessons to be a help to Your people, to help them, Lord, to see that there's one priority in this life that we need to keep, and it is our love for You. And Lord, if we'll love You and we'll trust You, Lord, we know, God, that You'll see us through every heartache, every trial, every burden that comes our way. And Lord, I know as we end this 2024 year and we look ahead at the 2025 year, Lord, we don't know what lays before us. But God, we know who's in control. And Lord, we know that You're faithful. And Father, we ask You to help us today, Lord, to love You enough to set the priority in our lives, Lord, to put You first in all that we do so that we might continue to love You the way that You desire for us to love You. And Lord, help us, God, to be found faithful in all that we do for you. Bless now our pastor as he stands to preach. And Father, we'll thank you, God, for what you do today. Speak to hearts. And Lord, if there be anyone here today or listening to the sound of my voice through the lesson on the internet, Lord, I pray, God, that you'll speak to their heart. Help them, Lord, to see if they're not saved, they need to see their need to come to you and be saved before it's eternally too late. And Father, we'll thank you for what you do, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you today. Thank you for getting to be in Sunday school class.